You're listening to Idaho Matters. Hi, I'm George Prentice. Holidays often mean family, friends, and food. And in traditional Basque culture, that combination is essential. And at least here in the U.S., there's one Basque appetizer that rises above the rest, and that has to be croquetas. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports on the intersection of food and the holidays for our region's Basque population.
I walk into a Basque restaurant in mid-morning as things are still quiet.
Hi. I'm so sorry. How are you doing? I'm Eric. Nice to meet you.
That's Eric McFarland, owner of the place. It's called Epi's, named after his great-grandmother who emigrated to Idaho from Basque country in 1929. And she wasn't alone. Boise, Idaho has the highest concentration of Basque people in the U.S. I'm excited to get into the kitchen and see how some of these foods are made.
I think they're making a few things back there.
But before I head back there, I want to tell you a bit about Basque country. Its cultural roots are in northern Spain and southern France, going back more than 1,000 years. Much of the region is sunny and next to the coast, and it's become a massive foodie destination, especially for seafoods and rich, flavorful meals. Boise, Idaho is not exactly like that, but McFarland says Basque culture here is also centered around food, especially during the holidays.
That's what, you know, being Basque is really about, is just, being around food, being around people, and sharing those experiences.
For tonight, there's lamb stew and burgundy sauce simmering off to the side. Epi chef Josh James has worked there for 19 years. He points to another pan under the big overhead fan.
Meatball sauce. So it's just olive oil and onions right now, and I'm just softening the onions up.
Some of that will become beef tongue sauce. There's also a white mixture out in a pan cooling down. It's waiting to turn into little balls coated in breadcrumbs and fried.
That's the masa for the croquetas.
So what is that?
So basically it's what we'd call a bechamel. It's a real simple kind of a mother sauce, basically, but it's really thick. And that's why you're able to roll the croquetas. Essentially, it's onions, oil, butter, flour, and milk.
He sometimes makes croquetas at Christmas, but says that's pretty time-consuming. His family spread is usually a mixture of American food with turkey and mashed potatoes, and Basque food, like lamb. But there's a lot of it.
We wake up in the morning and we're preparing for lunch. We're obviously eating breakfast, and then when we're eating lunch, we're preparing for dinner. And so there's no time between meals, really. You're constantly eating.
You have a tradition of a lot of snacking.
That's Marty Buckley, a blogger and Basque cookbook author.
A lot of shrimp, a lot of basically seafood snacks, and you have the white asparagus from Navarra. A lot of times the main dish will be sea bream or salt cod, and then you move on to a ton of desserts.
Buckley is from Alabama, but she moved to San Sebastian in northern Spain's Basque country about a decade ago. I asked her, what's the real difference between Basque food and other foods?
They really use mostly olive oil and garlic, parsley, and that's literally all. Salt. There's no spices. There's no, you know, hiding the flavors. They insist on bringing out the purest flavors from the produce that they use, in part because it's so excellent.
In Boise, most Basque meals out start with croquetas. But they're a big snack in Basque country, too. And there's all different kinds.
I mean, there's a joke that everybody's first favorite croqueta is the one their mom made. And then you ask them, where's your second favorite croqueta? Because they're never going to say, such and such bar makes it better than my mom.
Back in Epi's kitchen, McFarland finishes making a few of his own.
They're ready to rock and roll, get right in the fryer and have some fun.
And how do they taste?
Do you want to give one of these a try?
Sure.
Yeah.
That is delightful.
Yeah. So you can see it almost, some people think that maybe there's, you know, potatoes in there or something, or cheese. They can't figure it out. I love it. It's just deep fried goodness. That's what it is.
Epi's will be closed for Christmas and Christmas Eve so McFarland's family can celebrate. But that won't stop you from trying to cook your own Basque dish for the holiday season. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
Okay, so sticking with the theme of festive foods, let's now take a trek to the forest. Reporter Nate Hedgie tagged along with one hunter in southwest Montana to try a gamey twist on some traditional holiday food.
Wisdom, Montana is one of the coldest places in the lower 48. But that doesn't stop hunter Tom Healy from cooking today's dish outside. He leans over to light a camp stove.
That it does good. It doesn't work so well when it's 15 below. The sparker, for some reason, just doesn't get the job done. But we're up to a balmy, what, 9 degrees?
As you can probably guess, Healy loves the cold. And this is perfect cooking weather for him. With the flame roaring, we get started making halupkis. It's an Eastern European stuffed cabbage roll. But Healy's version has a decidedly more local flair.
We've got the elk from right here in the Big Hole Valley. We've got pickles, homemade pickles that we grew. In addition to, there's pickled...
Healy loves using food he and his wife either killed, grew, or foraged themselves. These cabbage rolls are stuffed with it. He shot the elk earlier this year, picked wild onions near the river near his house. He even harvested the recipe's wild rice by hand back east in Minnesota. He pulls out a dry bag of it.
It smells amazing. It smells like tea almost, you know?
Yeah. It's a really nice earthy tea-like, black tea-like smell to it.
This wild rice will form the bed for his halupkis. Healy pours some into a Dutch oven, adds some water, and places it onto the camp stove outside. Pretty soon, the rice is boiling. Meanwhile, Healy is chopping up peppers, onions, homemade pickles. He throws them all into a cast iron pan along with some wild onion-infused butter and a pound of ground elk. The meat sizzles and steams. The elk looks a lot like ground beef. It's got a deep red color, but unlike beef, it's extremely lean.
There's, you know, not a single lick or nick of fat or any other stuff in this particular pound of meat I just put in there.
But that doesn't mean the meat won't taste good. In fact, Healy is a master at taking lean, gamey cuts of meat and making them tender and delicious. Case in point, just look at the 3 thick elk steaks cooking inside a hot smoker on his porch. He opens the smoker's door.
This is a piece off the hind quarter, and then these two...
Healy's goal is to make Canadian bacon out of these elk steaks. They were brined for a week in salt and maple sugar. He takes one inside and slices off a couple of pieces.
He can be the first.
Wow, that's a nice, thin slice. It's so tender.
Healy says the secret is brining it in a special pink salt.
It doesn't just help preserve, but it also gives it that hammy type texture.
And it tastes like ham with the maple syrup, right? Because you got maple syrup in there.
Maple syrup, that garlic, bay leaves, black peppers.
As I'm eating this delicious elk Canadian bacon, Healy remembers that the halupki is almost ready. He goes outside and adds some finishing touches. Sour cream, a sauce made from sun-dried tomatoes, and a healthy amount of Chinese five spice.
Yeah, it's just a nice combination of things you might not otherwise mix. You know, fennel and... anise, fennel, anise, clove, cinnamon, and black pepper. Yeah.
Healy rolls the wild rice and elk into some cabbage leaves. He lets it blanch for a while, and then we crack open a beer and dig in.
Cheers. Well, cheers, yeah.
Absolutely.
There are so many flavors in that. Wow, because you can really taste the sun-dried tomatoes, plus the elk, the five spice.
The five spice, and I like the sour of this sour cream. And with the five spice and the pickles and the five spice. And
yeah.
It's a nice combo.
That's great. That is really good.
It's a recipe and a meal I won't soon forget. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie in Wisdom, Montana.
Okay. Now are you hungry? Of course you are. That was swell. Nate Hedgie and Madeline Beck from our Mountain West News Bureau. Wetting our taste buds. And thank you for joining us on this Thursday, January 2nd. Our producers are Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. Our production assistant is Molly Wampler. Our theme music was written and produced by Boise musician Will Hall. I'm George Prentice. Now, tomorrow we'll have our Friday Reporter Roundtable. And on Monday, you won't want to miss Idaho Matters when our special guest is Idaho Governor Brad Little, in anticipation of his State of the State address. You can hear today's program and previous interviews on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Don't forget to download our podcast and access all of Idaho Matters in that fashion. Have yourself a swell Thursday. I'll give it another try on Friday. I'm George Prentice.